So while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. I want you to imagine the scene. You're hiding in an upper room, and you're wondering, because Jesus is dead, and you're wondering if perhaps as one of his followers, you might be next. Can you imagine the fear, the sadness, the hopelessness? The man you put your faith in as the Messiah is dead. Then Simon and another of the disciples arrive, saying he's not dead. They've just seen him. And now there's confusion, and everyone's talking over everyone else, just trying to make sense of it all. Then suddenly, there he is. He's standing in the room. You know the doors were locked tight. You'd made sure. The doors are still locked, and yet there he is. You can't blame the disciples for being terrified. The only logical explanation is that he must be a ghost. Anything else would be too good to be true. In fact, the implications of anything else would just be too incredible to comprehend. It sounds crazy, right? The Bible even says it does. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And yet, in the midst of their fear and their doubt, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." We could so easily miss it because it seems too good to be true. But the Bible also promises that for those who believe, the message of the cross is the power of God. Surely, like the disciples, it's worth a closer look. And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I love the gentleness of Jesus with his disciples here. He knew that they needed him to help them process and understand this moment. I know that I've felt this on my own journey. Jesus' patience as I figure things out and continue to do so. He knows we may need a little help. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. Feel me. It's really me. I am real. For the disciples and for human history, this was a turning point, and the disciples had a front row seat. I can picture the gradual building of joy as the disciples realised that Jesus is alive. He has been raised from the dead. It's too good not to be true. We've met with him. We've felt with him. He is real. So guys, whether the disciples... you're just starting to see Jesus, really see Jesus for the first time. Or whether perhaps the world has dampened the joy you felt that time you first saw him. Today, his message is the same. Come see my hands and my feet. But guys, I have to warn you, when you see the risen Jesus, it really is too good not to be true. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, the disciples had been following Jesus for some time now, and he'd gone over the bigger picture a number of times. He could have said, guys, this is what I've been telling you about. What is it that you're not getting? But instead, in his grace, he opens their minds to the scriptures. He takes them back through the Bible as they would have had it, that's our Old Testament. He takes them through their history, and he shows them that what they're witnessing is the culmination of God's rescue plan for humanity. That Jesus is the prophet, that Jesus is the saviour, sorry, that the prophets and the Psalms have been speaking about. That the Messiah was not just coming to save them from oppression from the Romans, but to save all of mankind forever and allow us to have a relationship with God. It's a truth too good not to tell. And that's exactly what Jesus says next. You are my witnesses to these things. It's clear that the response that he expected from his disciples and from us is to tell others, because it's simply a truth too good not to tell. Now, guys, if you're quiet and introverted like I am, this may fill you with dread, or at the very least make you a little nervous. But in all seriousness, it's something so many of us find hard. I know I do. We may feel like we don't know enough, that we don't have it all figured out, or that people won't want to hear. But it's important to remember that the disciples didn't have it all figured out. And there were people that didn't want to hear their message either. In fact, they were hiding from those who didn't. But they knew Jesus, and that was all that they needed. And Jesus isn't prescriptive about how we share him with others. He made us all different. And people will express and receive Jesus in different ways. But this passage shows us that Jesus enables us to tell others about him. Jesus meets his disciples where they're at, with all their confusion, questions, and fears. It's too good to be true. He reassures them, gives them his peace, and speaks to them, equipping them with the knowledge that they'll need. It's too good not to be true. And importantly, as we've seen throughout this passage, he guides them all the way, and he promises to send them the help that they'll need, the Holy Spirit. So Phil's going to lead us in our prayers now and give us an opportunity to consider how we might be able to tell others about Jesus. Because after all, it's a truth too good not to tell.